So with my novel, The Present, rss.com/podcast/present. rss.com/podcast/present. That's normally for donors only, but just because I'm so thrilled, so thrilled to be having you with me here tonight on that's right, on Rumble, rumble.com. And I hope that you will sign up, subscribe, like, share, and subscribe. And let's get into it. Let's just get deep down, dark, and into it. The novel ends, if people are a bit surprised at the ending. So here's what I don't like, just artistically and philosophically. I don't like it when someone gives you the complete hero's journey right to the end, because then you lie back satisfied, like you've just had a full meal and you don't need to eat anymore. I like books that leave you a little hungry so that you take some of that moral momentum from the book and put it into your own life. I think that's the way. That's the way to do it for myself. So you would like to hear, I'm here for you guys. I'm here for you guys. Would you like to hear my thoughts on one S. Crowder? Full disclosure. He and I, some years ago, did some shows together, and we did talk about some business stuff way back in the day, and I thought he was a fine guy to work with and all of that. Let me just get your comments here. Stefan, I subscribed to you on Locals. What is the best way to support you? That's looking super kind. I appreciate that. Very kind. And Locals is a fine way to support me. I like that platform. That's freedomain.locals.com. You can, of course, isn't that right? Yes, you can send me a wee bit of support here. You can... a Steph Hanger ending. So you can... I take tips here. What was the one of the rudest jokes that I ever heard when I was a kid? What did the leper say to the prostitute? I left a tip. Oh, that's cold, man. That is some cold stuff. I was shocked and appalled. So, yeah, with Crowder, there's a lot. There's a lot that's going on there. So, did you know that birth control pills for women very much adjust who they're attracted to and very much adjust their sexual preferences? That's really, really quite something. So birth control pills interfere with, we have sort of natural pheromones. It's the scent, it's the look, it's the feel of the person, and it tends to make us the most compatible with whoever's going to produce the healthiest offspring. So the fact that you've had masses of women, you know, billions of women on birth control since the 1950s, and you have increases in, I don't know, like all these kinds of disorders and allergic to everything and problems and ADHD and dyslexia and so on. I think some of that has to do with the fact that, I mean, when you're on hormonal birth control, your body feels half pregnant all the time. And when you go off birth control in order to get pregnant, well, then you get the pregnancy hormones and so on. After you give birth, quite often, after you give birth and you've been off and you're off birth control, of course, I have no idea whether this applies to Stephen Crowder's wife. Of course, that would be far beyond my knowledge. So one sec. But a lot of times when the woman has given birth, she kind of wakes up and sees the man that she made a child with without looking through the fog and haze of birth control. So, yeah, it's pretty wild. Now, Stephen Crowder was, as far as I understand, yeah, he was beaten as a child, according to his reports, right? Not mine, his reports. He was beaten with a wooden spoon. He was beaten with a belt. And unfortunately, very tragically and catastrophically, I would argue, what's happened is he has praised this level of child abuse. He's publicly praised this level of child abuse, at least as of 2015. And when you praise child abuse, and, you know, whatever you say about spanking, we can get into that debate. But hitting children with wooden spoons and belts is straight up beating. And if you end up in that kind of situation where you're having a child but you've praised brutality and violence against children as a necessary, positive, and good thing, oh man, that's rough, man. That's hard on your system, that's hard on your ethics, and all of that stuff comes bubbling back up. And that is a problem. All right, let's get to your comments here. Apparently Crowder is very hard to work with, a bit of a diva. Yeah, I mean, I think he's a perfectionist. I think he's an exact guy. He's a hard taskmaster. I don't particularly like to work that way. I think that the most productive stuff comes out of a sense of fun and enjoyment and so on. And, of course, with your wonderfully kind support over the years and certainly over the last year or two, I've hired a researcher, which is why I'm cranking out these Truth About shows. I've done the Truth About daycare, and we're working on the Truth About Artificial Intelligence. Part one will be recorded tomorrow, and then probably on the weekend I'll do part two. Really, really great stuff. There's so much philosophically to talk about with artificial intelligence. So, and, you know, I generally think that you get the best work out of yourself when you are enjoying yourself and having fun, and it's deep and meaty and powerful, and you're not bound up and in this whirlpool of self-criticism and anal exactitude and so on. At least that's the way that I do my best work, and it seems to work pretty well for other people as well. So, all right, let me just get caught up here. Crowder's wife seems like the perfect woman. Why did he treat her like that? Ooh, my friend. Okay. Let me tell you how things be. Oh, yeah, of course. Remember, you can watch me on an app, too, right? I will be watching the great Stephbot on my glorious OLED. LG finally made a Rumble app. Your audience and reach should boom on Rumble, Steph. Well, let's hope so. I hope I don't screw it up. That's my morning mantra. Don't screw it up. And, you know, once in a while, I'm actually able to achieve that not screwing it up thing. Okay, so here's the thing, man. Here's the thing. Crowder's wife seems like the perfect woman. Why did he treat her like that? If you want to know, like, let's say you're in a relationship and you want to know how attractive you are in general. If you want to know how attractive you are to the opposite sex, look at how attractive your girlfriend or boyfriend or husband or wife is to you. My wife and I are of very similar levels of attractiveness. And just about everywhere you see, you know, absent some kind of Anna Nicole Smith, ancient, wealthy Nazgul in a wheelchair kind of situation, don't you find that people are generally of similar levels of attractiveness? As a whole, I look at Steven Crowder and I look at his wife. It's like, yeah, that's the general rule, that people are of similar levels of attractiveness. Also, people are of similar, if not downright exact, atomic weigh scale levels of maturity. Atomic weigh scale levels of maturity. And so if you see someone who's dysfunctional, thinking that their partner is a victim is almost always completely and totally incorrect. Almost completely and totally incorrect. And because of that, looking at Crowder's wife and saying, gosh, what's she doing with such a guy? Doesn't make any sense. She and he are at about the same levels of attractiveness and about the same levels of emotional maturity. Somebody says, I have no doubt more will come out to show they're both each equally a mess. You know, this is the thing, man. This is so important as a whole. This is so important as a whole. Steven Crowder is very wealthy. He's about as successful as you can be in alternative media. I think that's fair to say. He's about as successful as you can be in alternative media. And, you know, he lives in a beautiful house with a beautiful wife, you know, Talking Heads song style, right? And a lot of people, you know, I mean, I'll be straight up honest with you guys, as I always try to be. I'm straight up honest with you guys. Didn't you hear that he got offered $50 million, pinky to the lip? He got offered $50 million by the Daily Wire. And that was just their starting negotiation. Now you can say people are throwing $100 million at Crowder, at Tucker Carlson, people threw like $100 million plus at Joe Rogan, mostly to shut him up, I would assume. But, you know, you hear $50 million, opening bid is $50 million U.S., which is like a zillion Canadian. Don't you have just a little bit of, I know I did. I'll be straight up with you. You know, see Jordan Peterson bouncing across the universe, being fated by everyone and their dog. It's like, well, that's the road less traveled for me. So I get that. I understand that. But would you take his money if it meant having his life? It's a big question, right? Somebody says, hey, Steph, haven't been on for a while. Hello from Australia. Hope you have been well. I've been very well. Thank you. I've been very well and appreciate you dropping by today. I can't even imagine what time it is in Australia. I assume it's 21:77 Monday at 11:31 unicorn o'clock. But and thank you for the tip. I appreciate that. But would you take the money if it meant having that life, having that relationship, having that marriage? I'm telling you, I you couldn't pay me enough. Like there is no money in the universe that would have me live like that. And look, I'm sure of this. You can answer me this. Hit me with a why if you've ever been materially comfortable but unhappy in your relationship. You ever been that? Like, I've got enough money. I got enough money, but I'm not happy. I don't mean like super rich or whatever it is. Have you been in that situation? You've been in that situation, right? You've been in that situation. No, thank you, right? Yeah. So success, right? Success comes at a price. Do you believe that she was aware of that before getting married? Well, it depends what you mean by aware. It depends what you mean by aware. Now, I've done thousands of listener calls, right? Straight up, people miserable, unhappy, and some not, but, you know, a lot of them are. And if they're unhappy in their relationships, and they say, oh, my partner is exhibiting these negative characteristics. He's controlling, he's bossy, he's verbally aggressive, he's physically threatening, and so on, right? Now, one of the questions that I ask in general, and I've asked hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times, is what were the signs that this was the case or that this was the personality before you got married, before you got engaged? And we sort of back all the way up, meep, meep, you back all the way up to like the first date or the second date. Now, people will say, oh, no, there wasn't any indication. No, I'm not psychic. I can't travel through time. There was no way to that, right? People always do this kind of stuff, right? That there was no way to know. And yet, when you ask them and you drill down, give me a rough guess here. What percentage of the time do you think there are clear signs of this at the beginning? Yeah, it's virtually 100%. I can't say 100% because maybe there was one or two where there weren't. But no, it's 100%. Now, it's 100% minus the people who steadfastly avoided these topics. Right, so somebody's like, I remember a woman calling in. She's like, oh, he's really mean. He's very aggressive. He's verbally abusive and so on. Oh, okay. So over the first couple of dates, was there any sign of this? No, he seemed like a really nice guy. Okay. Over the time that you dated him before you get engaged, did you ever ask him about his childhood? No, we didn't really talk about that. So if you steadfastly avoid the topic, yes, then you can claim to be ignorant of it. But steadfastly avoiding the topic is because you know there are problems. I mean, why on earth would you date someone for months and never ask them about their childhood? Why on earth would you date someone for months, especially if you're interested in getting married and having kids? The biggest influence, the child is the father of the man. The biggest influence on someone's life until they hit like 40 is their childhood. And then it's the time since their childhood. So if you are avoiding information about the childhood of the person you're dating, it's because you know it's bad. You know it's bad and you know it's unprocessed. Because it's one thing to say, well, I'm not going to ask you about your childhood. It's quite another thing for the other person to not tell you about their childhood. How can you know someone without knowing their origin story? It's like trying to understand a really complicated murder mystery by picking it up 3/4 of the way through. Right? Let's say you're dating someone who's 27. 2/3 of their life was childhood, right? Do I have that right? I do. Yeah, 27. 9, 18, 27. Yes, I have that incredible ostrich egg math down perfectly, right? So, can you imagine? You know, you've got a big complicated movie. A lot of moving parts, a lot of clues and hints and this, that, and the other. And you join that movie 2/3 of the way through. Could you ever make sense of a movie that's an hour and a half long if the only thing you watch is the last 20 minutes? I say 20 minutes because, you know, it's an hour and a half, but, you know, 10 minutes of credits and so on. Even if it's half an hour, can you make any sense of a movie? Have you ever done that? Where for some reason you've had to try and watch a movie that you've just started into it late, somebody else started it beforehand, and your whole life is like, why is he leaving with her? Why? And they're just like, oh my God, you missed the first 2/3 of the movie, right? So, you either know or you're studiously avoiding, which also indicates that you know. So no, I would not look at her as a victim. I would not look at her as a victim. I'm for empowerment. And empowerment is you are responsible, 150% responsible for your decisions. If you chose to get married to a guy who's cold and cruel and mean, you knew that. Well, I mean, they got married in 2011, 2012, something like that. Still, well over a decade ago. Money, you know, money won't do it, man. Money can't buy it, baby. All right, let's get to your questions and comments. People tell you who they are if you ask. Well, people will tell you who they are even if you don't ask. They've, you know, this blink phenomenon. People tell you everything that you need to know about them, usually in the first 30 seconds. Is there eye contact? Is there directness? Is there awkward smiles? Is there tension? Blah, 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 right? Would you work with him again? No. No, I think... well, here's the thing, too. I mean, I don't know what... I haven't followed this, but the last thing that I saw was Steven Crowder... saying that, this Ring camera video was deceptively edited or whatever, right? Even though the stuff that's said, even if there's edits, the stuff that's said is just horrendous. But the last I heard, and tell me if anything has changed about this or if anything's come of this, but the last that I heard was he was like, I'm going to petition the court for a release of everything, health records, mental health records. I guess he's got, like, obviously he's got inside information about mental health issues that his wife had or has, and he's going to try and crawl up on her mental health issues to try and look better. God, I don't understand that. Oh, man. I don't even remotely understand that. I mean, you know, full disclosure, my mom used to bitch about my dad. You know, they divorced when I was a baby. My mom used to bitch about my dad. I can't fathom it. Bitching about the person you chose to marry and have children with is unbelievably incomprehensible to me. It's literally like watching two people in the middle of the Pacific Ocean on a small boat, and one of them's drilling a hole in his side and says, well, I guess you're going to sink. It's like, hello, you're both going to sink. And all we can do is applaud the sharks for burping up the remnants of such idiocy. I don't understand it. Why? Boy, you know, this guy, I mean, my mother was a very attractive woman. Very slender, she had great features and all of that. So I'm gesturing at myself like I'm my mother, but no, she was a very attractive woman. You see pictures of her when she was younger, and, you know, she's like 9/10 of the way to a movie star look. She was very, very attractive. And she was very charismatic and funny and intelligent, could be a great conversationalist and so on. It's funny, you know, and I'm working on this AI presentation, and I remember, when I was a kid, very little in Canada. We moved here when I was 11, and I was a kid in Canada, and we went to the Eaton Center, and there was a robot in the Eaton Center, and my mother engaged in a big philosophical discussion with the robot that went on for, I don't know, it felt like forever. It was probably 45 minutes or whatever, which is a long time when you're 11. But I was really kind of fascinated because she was engaging, you know, do you exist? Do you think? Do you have free will? And she was just engaging in a very playful and funny and positive way with this, obviously it was a guy in a big giant robot suit, and an entire crowd gathered around. Even the security guards were watching. So I remember it was Christmas time, and they had some funny robot promo. It was probably for, I don't know, Star Wars or Buck Rogers in the 25th century or something like that. So she could be very engaging, very charming, very charismatic. And so it's like, okay, so you as a young, beautiful, charismatic, intelligent, funny woman, you had your pick, right? You had your pick. I mean, I don't know if she was one of these women when she was younger that just make men lose their minds. Carmen Electra style. Like, I don't know if she was just one of these voodoo, witchy, hypnosis women, or whether she was just very attractive. I don't know. What can I can't judge these things. But it's like, I could have gotten just about any guy I wanted, and the guy that I got, I really dislike. I don't understand it. It's like watching a multi-zillionaire go and shop for a car, and he can test drive anything, he can afford anything, he can buy anything, and he goes looking for a car, and he test drives them all, and he finally commits to a car. And then he spends the rest of his life saying, that car sucks. Oh, God. Isn't that mad? Look, marriage doesn't work out. Hey, you know, like, massive sympathies. I think you should really, really, oh, my God. I mean, you can make a marriage work out. You can make a marriage work out. You can. You go to therapy. You commit to better behavior. You go to couples counseling. You can make a marriage work out. The people who walk away, particularly when there are kids involved, I have no sympathy for. No sympathy for. You chose to have the children. And once you bring the children into the equation, your free will goes out the window. You know, there are some things that you have free will for, and there's some things after that you don't have free will for. Like, if you sleep around, I think it's gross. I think it's dangerous. I think it's, you know, countdown to the bunny boiler, fatal attraction, Glenn Close stalking scenario. But it's your choice. Now, you get into a marriage that's monogamous, right? You have that arrangement. We're not going to have affairs. It's not some creepy porn stash oils and bathrobes scenario. Okay, so then you make the choice to get married, and then you lose the choice to sleep around. You are now monogamous, right? I've been married 21 years, monogamous. I will be monogamous until the day one of us dies. So You make that choice to get married, you lose the choice to sleep around. It's gone. Out of the way, right? I don't anticipate being the lead ballerina at the Bolshoi Ballet, and I don't anticipate sleeping around, having affairs. It's not going to happen, because I made that choice. Get married. So in the same way that you have kids, it's like, okay, now your choice to end the marriage is not there. It doesn't exist because you've had children. And without a doubt, by far, almost infinitely, the safest place for children to be is in a two-parent household. The safest place. You know, you don't get to be Michael Jackson and dangle your toddler over a balcony. You don't get to put them in cannons or throw them at angled trampolines so they bounce over fences. You don't have that as an option. I mean, you got to put your kids in a baby seat in the car. It's good. I remember lying on the back window ledge when I was a kid sometimes. That's good. It's good. We've upgraded these things. There was no baby proofing when you had more kids because we were all just kind of expendable, right? But you don't have the choice to break up once you get the woman pregnant. You've now made the choice to be a father. And being a father means living in the house with the mother of your children, staying married, God's sakes. You don't have the choice. You gave up that choice to split up. I don't know how people still think, oh, well, you know, we got twins, oh, we got babies, we got kids, we got... Sorry, that's it, you're done. If you want to break up before you have the kids. Like, if you want to sleep around, don't get married in a monogamous relationship. And if you want to break up your marriage, that sucks. I think it's a terrible thing to do. Do it before you have the children. Once you have the children, there's no breakups anymore. There's no crying in baseball, and there's no breakups after kids. Say, oh, well, yes, but my partner is blah, blah, blah. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. You have made the choice, and with choices come consequences. Drives me crazy. Did Mr. Molyneux speak about Ireland? He alluded to something during his Star Wars vid. It's just heartbreaking. It's just absolutely heartbreaking what's happened in Ireland. These brain-crushing violations of basic free speech. It's just absolutely appalling. 70% of the Irish people didn't want this. Vociferously and emphatically did not want these laws. Doesn't matter. All right. In the past, you've always spoken about how important it was to talk through things with the person you're in a relationship with. Sure, yeah, of course. I mean, there is no relationship if you're not talking about important things. Hey, Steph, love seeing you on Rumble. Well, that's interesting. So I'm kind of doing a bit of an experiment here. Which is seeing what the tips are like on Rumble versus other things, right? Versus other areas. You know, I have to be responsible for the income of the show. Particularly, I would want to hire more people. I want to do a documentary this summer on the Civil War. And I need resources to do that. So I'm out here on Rumble. I'm curious how many people are here, which is nice. I don't know where to find that. No idea where to find that, but it's somewhere around, I'm sure. But I'm curious what happens with tips on this platform versus other platforms. All right. Do a lot of attractive women prefer guys like that who are mean to them? I could do a rant on that, but I want to make sure. Hit Y for rant. I am a vending machine. Would you like me to rant? Hit Y for rant. Terrence Pop. I actually met Terrence Pop at a men's rights conference. He's a funny guy. He referred to himself as an old gunslinger. All right. Do you want to rant? Do you want to rant on beautiful women? Or do you want to mime on beautiful women? Should we do a rant? Okay. All right. Here's the rant. What is the number one characteristic that women are looking for in a man? A woman of childbearing age who going to have kids and like, what is the number one? Rant is always the preferred strategy. I think a lot of hot women like the bad boy. Let's separate that out a little. Let's get the wheat out of the chaff, right? What is the number one characteristic that women are looking for in their men? I mean, outside of, you know, attractive physically and all that. Confidence. Yeah. No. Money. No. Ability to win resources. Yes, Mr. Robobeast, you get there. Are they going to win in the fight for resources? Are they going to get the cheddar, the cheese, the deer, the buck, the coconut, whatever, and bring it home to mama and her babies, right? You got two babies sitting on your boobs. Husband feeds you, you feed the babies. You're a flow-through mechanism to turn coconut juice into height. Yeah, so the woman needs a man. It's not just confidence. Let me ask you this. What do you think helps you the most in competition? What personal characteristic or emotional attitude helps you the most when you're in competition? Let me ask you, what is the most helpful to you when you're in conflict and competition? Lacking of empathy. Yeah, for sure. You have to really want to win, and part of how you win is the other guy has to lose. I mean, if you've ever been in competition for a woman, then if she goes out with you, the other guys are shut out. I mean, hopefully, right? So you have to win, which means the other person or the other people, the other group, whoever, has to lose. Like, I want people to listen to my approach, my arguments. I would say my philosophy, but philosophy isn't something I own. I want you to don't watch them, watch this. Don't listen to them, listen to this. I want to win at the expense of other people, because you can't listen to two people at the same time. So I want you to be here, not somewhere else. Right? So for me to win, other people have to lose. For other people to win, I have to lose. Now, I like to think that the world as a whole wins. If people are more into philosophy, I think that's all very good. But you have to win against other people. If you want the job, everyone else who applied for the job has to go home crying. If you want the gold, everyone else has to go home crying. If you want the girl, all of the other guys have to settle for their second or third best. You have to want to win and conquer and dominate. You know, when I was confronted by media people and, oh, you're a terrible guy, blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay, only one of us is going to walk out of this a victor. Only one of us. And I'll be damned if it's not going to be me. It's going to be me. And when I'm in a debate with somebody, particularly if I think they're immoral, I'm going for the jugular. I want to walk over a smoking wreckage of arguments. Sorry, that's just the way that's life. So a woman wants a man who can go out and win. Ah, now, here's the thing. She also, what does she want that's contradictory, though? Right? What does she want? Go out and win and come home and what? Go out and don't have any empathy and dominate and win and then come home and what? Come home and do what? Tell me. Yeah, be tender to her. Be gentle, be kind, be sweet, be emotionally available, be soft. And look, it's not like men don't have their contradictions as well, right? Be super hot and deeply intellectual. Be massively attractive and have all the characteristics of somebody who has to really, really work for attention, such as the ability to hold a great conversation, to read a lot, and to make people laugh, right? Right. So, be a beast out there and a lamb in here. Now, being able to switch between these two modalities is important and will have things really, really work out for you. So, a beautiful woman, hit me with a number, 1 to 10, of the most attractive woman you've ever tried to ask out, or ever asked out, or tried to get with in some more proactive way other than just kind of hanging around and hoping to get crumbs from the friend zone. Hit me with a 1 to 10, the most attractive woman you've actively tried to get to go out with you. 10, 3. Yeah, I went for a yoga instructor who was a solid 10, and also very smart. She was doing a PhD. 5, 8. Yeah, all right. 10, 8, 9.1. Well, that's very specific. Right. So she... Now, how scared were you to go... Right, let's do a minus just so I don't get these confused. Minus 10 is you were super scared. Minus 1, it wasn't a big deal. How scared were you to ask out the girl who was the top girl you've asked out? How scared were you? And for women, it can be the other way around, so just substitute the sexes. So give me a minus. Minus 10 is like terrified. Peed myself a little while I was doing it. Minus 10 is just I was scared crapless, right? Minus 1 is, yeah, it was a little unnerving, but whatever, right? All right, just waiting for the chat to catch up here. Minus 8. Yeah. But she was screwing the braggadocio braggart. Well, then, yeah, whatever, right? Right. So, the woman, how does the woman test your confidence out there in the world? Because when you ask an attractive woman out, the top level that you can get, you believe you can get, you ask a super attractive woman out, she's the resource you're trying to get. And if you show fear in trying to get her to come out, she thinks that you're going to be afraid in competition for outside resources. So she is the top resource. And as the top resource, she expects you to get the top resource. But if you're stammering and nervous and stumblejohn and Diary of Horace Wimp style, if you're real nervous to ask her out, she's going to sit there and say, you know, he's just not going to go out there and win resources. I need a guy who's not afraid to ask me out. Now, Adrian told Rocky to win.
Adrian!
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So, if you show fear in asking a woman out, now, a sensitive woman, a thoughtful woman, and so on, will recognize that you really like her, and she'll be nice to you, and she may even say yes, but it's not going to be fundamentally attractive to her. You have to show no fear in asking the woman out. Now, the most attractive woman will be the most excited by a man who shows no fear, but showing no fear can be an act of overcoming your fear, mastering your anxiety, and having confidence, rational moral confidence thereby. But what's the other and far more common reason why men don't show fear? What is the most common reason why men don't show fear? Trust me, it ain't moral excellence or overcoming your fears. Yeah, you're right. They're a sociopath. Thank you very much. That's a very kind kind donation. That's very, very kind. I will ship you some fingernails. Right. So sociopaths don't feel fear. So you say, women are attracted to the bad boys. No. It's not that. It's not that simple. And it's not that reductive. And, of course, there's a lot of resentment in that, right? And there's, because, you know, if you want the highest, you want the top-tier woman, and then the bad guy comes in and scoops her, you feel resentful, right? Yeah, that's right. So the woman is torn. She wants resources, and she wants love. But a lot of times, the men who are best at going out to get resources are also the ones who cannot provide them with love. Do you feed your babies and starve them of love? Or do they have a lot of love but are starved of resources? Are they hungry for food or emotional availability? And that's a tough thing. That is a tough thing. It's the hot, crazy matrix, right? So listen, the guys, men face... Women face the same problems. And men face the same problems. Which is the woman who's the most sexy, the most physically attractive, the best put together and all of that. The women who are the most attractive, do they tend to make the best wives, partners, and mothers? Little question there. Because you look at what women want, and you're frustrated. But when you look at women and what men are looking for, do the women who are the hottest, the sexiest, the truly radiant beauties, do they tend to make the best friends, companions, partners, wives, mothers, and lovers? Or are they addicted to male attention and will cheat on you? First you get the money, and then you get the power, and then you get the women. That is one greasy character, man. It's just like a well-oiled torpedo of Brill Cream. Say hello to my little friend. Yeah, well, listen, we don't know what it's like to have most... I mean, how many men know what it's like to have women just throwing resources, throwing themselves, can get anyone they want. I mean, you don't know what that's like. I don't know what that's like. I was a pretty tasty crumpet when I was a young man. I didn't know what it was like. So, do hot women like the bad boys? No. Hot women want maximum resources because they are a maximum resource, and therefore they want a man who's going to conquer, who's going to win, and therefore you can't show fear. Can't show fear. Can't show fear. Now, I know what, I'm so bored. My husband is boring. He just wants to stay home. I'm bored of my kids. I want to go out. Let's get some babysitter. I want to go out. I want to go party. I want to go to the club. What? Wants attention, wants attention, wants attention. Is hyperstimulated by endless waving penis stalks with eyeballs. All right, so now I know what your next question is, right? Let me guess your next question. How do I overcome? Jeez, I used to be able to type, overcome this fear. How do I overcome this fear without becoming a sociopath, but you can't just snap your fingers and will yourself to be? How do I overcome this fear and get the top tier woman who I'm scared to ask out? How? Oh, that was your question? Okay, good. Well, I guess I'm psychic. Okay, how do I overcome this fear? I know it's rude to answer a question with a question. But a fearful beta will not defend the family, yep. This is perfect for my fairly ferocious ex-girlfriend if she listens to this. Mine too. Yeah. All right. How do I overcome this fear? You want to know. Hit me with the why if you want to know how to overcome this fear. I just want to make sure I'm dealing with as many people's questions as possible because I am in the service provision of handing you the next generation. Yes. 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 All right. Let me ask you a theoretical question so that you can answer me. So let's say I get into a particular hobby, and that hobby is flicking the balls of male tigers. Let's just say that that's my thing, right? It's not a sexual thing. It's not a fetish thing. I just like to flick the balls of male tigers, right? And I'm like, I start to approach the tiger cage. I start to approach where the tigers are, whether it's in the wild, anywhere. It could be in a petting zoo or whatever. I mean, fairly aggressive petting zoo, but... And, you know, every time I think of lowering myself into the tiger pen so I can flick their balls, my heart starts racing, my hands get sweaty, my lips start trembling. I'm like, I'm scared. I'm nervous. I'm like really, really terrified. And I say to you, man, as my friend, how do I overcome this fear? What would you say to me? How do I overcome this fear? I'm scared of flicking tiger balls. I want to flick tiger balls, but I'm scared. How do I do it? I don't know how to do it. Help me overcome this fear. Just want to flick the tiger balls. There's your gift for the evening. Yeah, the sensible answer is, are you crazy? Don't overcome that fear. Don't flick tiger balls. I guess unless you're married to an excellent biracial golfer. Right. Yeah, don't flick tiger balls. With the L and the I together, it looks like a U, which I guess would also be the case, right? I ain't helping you with that. You should be afraid. You'd say YOLO. Well, aren't you an exciting friend to have? YOLO. You only live once. Go for it, man. I got the video going. I'm going to make a fortune. Oh, by the way, sorry. Somebody said earlier, all these people, man, uploading your videos to YouTube and they're making money off the ads. Great. Fantastic. fantastic. I wish them the very best. Good luck. I'm glad to have the material on YouTube. I'm glad that it's available for people to watch. That's fine. You can make money, put my videos on YouTube. Go for it. Full permission. Fantastic. Don't alter them. Don't say that they're yours. I'm sure that people would know. But does this mean we have to go for fours? Oh, dear. So the guy who said YOLO, never take advice from him on extreme sports, like never, right? So why are you afraid to go for the most physically beautiful woman? Well, first of all, it's not you who are afraid. I guarantee you that. I know it probably feels like it's you who are afraid. But when it comes to asking out women, who's really asked? Like, let's say you want to get married, you want to be a dad, you want to be a husband, you want to be a father. Who is actually asking out the women? Who are you asking out the woman on behalf of? That's my question to you. Who are you asking out the women on behalf of? Future children. Oh, Robo. If you were a tiger, you know what I'd be doing right now. I'd be popping on these fur gloves and creeping over like a Roomba. With a nice white wine sauce and some fava beans. Yeah, it's your future kids that are asking the women out. So your balls right now are asking the woman out because she's sexy and hot and you want to have sex. And I understand that. Nothing wrong with that. It's a beautiful aspect of masculinity. Fantastic. Never fight it. Don't give in to it, but don't fight the feeling. So it's your full balls that are asking the woman out right now, but it's your future seed, your children. They're the ones who are steering you away from the women who are hot, who will be bad mothers. You're the ghosts, the future ghosts of your children's preeclampsia ectoplasmic essence are punching you in the nads and saying, yeah, she's hot, but she'd be a bad mom, and we don't want to be raised by a bad mom, so back off, buddy, steer clear, run away, run. Right? Sex is there as a bonding lubricant, as a bonding mechanism for two people to raise children. That's what sex is for. It's the having of children and the creating of one flesh bonds with your wife, your husband, so that you can stay together forever and be thrilled and happy, right? The only reason we have sex drives is for children. The only reason we have balls and penises and vaginas and clitorises is because of the having and getting and raising of children. So get over your fear of dangerous women? Are you kidding me? Let me ask you this. If I had a pill, a jagged little pill, if I had a pill I could snap into existence and pass Willy Wonka chocolate style through the screen, right? If I had a pill and I could hand it to you and that pill would have you lose all fear of females or males. Ooh, there's a demonic offer, isn't it? Yes, my child, my son, my offspring of darkness, I bring to you the red horned pill of fearlessness for women. I can't do that voice for too long. I'm going to get a little hoarse, a little Shetland. Take this pill, and you shall never be afraid of women ever again. You will be able to walk up with full, ball-dragging confidence like you are. Vin Diesel with actual diesel instead of a horse, so you couldn't even get your heart broken. They'd have to take a crowbar to it to have it make a dinging sound through your manly, muscular chest. You would have no fear of females. Would you take that pill? Hit me with a why if you take that pill, and I will send a tiger over to flick your balls. Would you take that pill? No, you can't take half of it. No. You will lose all fear of women, and you will get thus. You will lose all fear of women. Come on, you can go and approach women with no sweaty palms, no shaking voice, no darting eye contact, no hummingbird heart. You will go up and you will stride and you will take women like Genghis Khan with your confidence. Would you take it? Hit me with a yes or a no. I'm offering you this pill. Will you take it? Don't need it. Oh, that's a tough question. Right. Right. You would take it? All right. You would take it too? Oh my God, that's a lot of people who would... I thought I'd have to work harder as Satan to get you to give up your souls, but apparently not. Okay, already married, no need. We've got a bunch of yeses, couple of no's. I probably would. I shouldn't, but I probably would. Oh man, you guys are going to feel like really bad in a moment. Should I just stop here? I'll just stop here and end the live stream and you won't feel bad. Should I keep going or should I just end the live stream so you guys don't feel bad? Hit me with a yes. I will end the live streams if you don't want to feel bad. It'll be a learning moment for you guys and be very good for you. A lot of us need our balls flicked. I don't know what that means. Keep going. You're going to feel bad. Don't end. Keep going. Don't stop now. We're almost there. All right. If you end now, you'll only have a good career selling pills. We can't take it. Keep going. Oh, my God, guys. Guys and girls, friends, brothers and sisters in Christ. What? Go all the way. All right. We're going to raw dog it right through to the end, baby. My head might go through the headboard. I'm telling you right now. You know, what's Scottish foreplay? Brace yourself! All right. Oh, dude, you're going to feel so bad. All right. What was the name of the pill I just offered you? What was the name of the pill I just offered you that offered you complete release from fear? It's like we just had this conversation. What was the name of the pill that I just offered you? What was the name of the pill I just offered you? Psychopathy. Yeah, I just offered you the sociopath pill. Because we just earlier talked about how if you had no fear, you'd be a sociopath. And I just said to you right in the same conversation, I just said to you, take this pill and you'll have no fear. And you're like, yeah, great, lovely. Sociopathy sounds good. Does it get me laid with crazy women? Yeah. We just talked about the only people who have no fear who get the hot girls are sociopaths. And then literally 20 minutes later, I said, hey, would you like a sociopath pill? And you're all like, oh, I'll deep throat that mofo. Oh, dear, my friends. You would sell your soul for pussy. You would sell your humanity, you would sell your emotions, you would sell your ability to love and be in contact with people for the wet trench, for the wet trench of soullessness. But Steph, eggs, no. Sociopaths are just about the worst fathers around. You would take this, even when I point this out, you would rather be a sociopath. Sociopath me, Scotty. Yes, I would. Oh, come on, guys. Throw some tips in. You know this is a great conversation. This is illuminating in ways. This is like a doctor with a flashlight showing you where your soul should be. Tip me! Tip me! And I will send you the horny pill. The horned and horny pill. How long does the pill last? Oh, let me have just a little bit of peril. Bet you're gay.
But wouldn't you then just be rational? Make changes only when you're actually damaged by your actions.
Would you give up love for sex?
Now, I tip, but I can't figure out how on the Android app. Oh, I appreciate that. But, you know, not everyone's on Android.
Tipped. Thank you. I appreciate that.
You can't get this anywhere else, right? You know that. You know that. Would you be rational? Make changes only when you're damaged by your actions. You see, the devil will say, become a sociopath and you'll get sex. And then what will happen is you won't enjoy the sex, you won't feel connected, and the women will hate you afterwards.
I want to tip on Rumble above. I appreciate that. That's a very kind. I don't know. I'm sure people will help out.
You're right, Steph. My first hottie was schizophrenic.
Yeah.
You know, there's that old saying, no matter how hot and gorgeous the woman is, somewhere in the world, there's a guy tired of banging her.
Thank you for the tip. I appreciate that.
Would you give up the ability to be in love to have unpleasant, dangerous, unfulfilling sex? Are you a man or an animal? Are you a human being or a mammal?
It's humbling working our way down the ladder, though.
Sure. Of course it is. It is absolutely perfect. It's perfect. The male reproductive strategy is always the same. It's always the same. Start at the top and work your way down till someone says yes. And sure, it's humbling. Absolutely. But you understand, it's humbling for the woman too. At least you get to choose. It's humbling for the woman too, because the woman, let's say that she's a six, right? The woman's seeing all the hot guys that she wants to date going for all the women who are more attractive than her. It's humbling for her. It's shameful. It's horrible. Of course it's supposed to be horrible because we're supposed to aim for the top. Because of the pill, lots of women have mom bods. That's true. That's true.
Now, don't make that deal. Be proud that you have fear. Be proud that you're nervous. That means you can connect and you can love.
Somebody says, I've been through the animal phase, brutal, never again, still affects me mentally in a negative way. Oh, you will scrub your capacity to pair bond. You will scrub your capacity to pair bond. And it's a long, long life to be alone. Man, it is a long, long life to be alone.
Now, hit me with the why if you're having trouble finding a life partner.
Hit me with a why if you're having trouble finding a life partner.
And I sympathize. I sympathize. I was in my 30s.
Do you think it's folly to wait for women to make the move?
I do.
Would you like the secret of how to get a life partner?
I've never said this before. I know that's a bit redundant.
Damn, this guy is loaded.
Quality partner, yes. Married 33 years, some of them good.
Make them all good.
Why do I have to go for 10s?
All right.
Are you ready to get your eyeballs blown back and your balls readjusted to their proper position? you understand that as a philosopher, me saying that, what if I theoretically had a hobby called flicking tiger balls? You know, that's the whole gig of being a philosopher is flicking tiger balls. That's the whole job. And getting away. I got to be the honey badger. I got to be one of those monkeys that comes down and flicks the tiger and goes back up again. Somebody says, yes, I am 4+ years single after a long-term relationship of 10 years. All right. Are you ready? Are you ready? Do not use this power for ill, I beg you. You think you're trying to date a woman, right? You think you're trying to get a woman to date. Hit me with a why if you think that your goal is to get a woman to date. Sorry, just waiting for the chat to catch up a little here. Yes, yes, yes. You think that your job is to get a girl to go out with you, and that you're going and you're asking for a girl to go out with you, right? No, but in order for long term, you have to get the woman to go out with you, right? I'm not saying just go on one date and then dump her. But in order to get a long term quality partner, your belief is that you have to get I'm going to get this woman to go out with me. I'm going to get her to go on a date with me. And that's how we start, right? That is false. He said annoyingly, and I'm aware this is annoying. I apologize for being annoying. That is false. That is not the story. You are not. If you say, I want to ask a woman out, I want to get a woman to go on a date with me, you don't have the assertiveness that is attractive. Are you ready? It's a four-letter word that you need to substitute in your mind. Date with this other four-letter word and not the one that starts with F. Funk. Are you ready? Hit me with a why if I should do this without my shirt on. I'm happy either way. Not trying to show off or anything here. Hit me with a why if I should tear my shirt off and tell you how to become a father. Yes. I'll do it. No shirt. Should I tear the shirt, or is that too much? No, that's too much. Plus, I hate having to go buy clothes. All right. Love the interaction on this stream. Thank you for the tip. I appreciate that. Are you ready? This is great. I don't want to sell my ability to love and be loved, but I also want a woman. Yes! Yes. Yes. Are you ready? I can't even stand because then I'm out of frame. Let's go back here a little. Let's get it on. All right. Throw the chair aside. I will go down Brian May guitar style. Are you ready? You are not asking for a woman to date. You do not want a woman to date. If you expect a woman to date, you will lose. Do you know what the word is that you need, my friends? Do you know what the word is that you need? You need. The word that you need is not date, but lead. You need a woman to lead. You need a woman to lead. You are not there to date her. You are there to lead her. Because to date her is to say that you have nothing to add to her other than some fucking calamari and a mimosa. You are there to lead her to the promised land of wifedom and motherhood and grandmotherhood and matriarchy. You are there to lead her. Now, be aware, she's there to lead you too. It's not just one way. It's just not one-sided. In 2007 called, he wants his ideal body back. Oh, in 2007, man, I was 30 pounds heavier. Right, you lead her. People just sit there. You're sitting there and saying, come on a date with me.
No, no, no. You don't come on a date. You come on a journey. You're there to take her on a journey. Not out for some fucking bruschetta, but on a journey. To depth, love, family, fertility, matriarchy, everything. You're there to take her on a journey, to take her on a beautiful voyage, to lead her. Imagine you are going on to the jungle. Imagine me with cacas behind me and all of this vines and Tarzan, right? And you go to the jungle and you have a guide there. And you've paid a lot of money for this guide. And the guide meets you in the heart, the throbbing heartbeat of the jungle. The guide meets you there and says, do you know what he says? Where do you want to go? I'll go wherever you want to go. Where do you want to go? What would you say? I have come here for a jungle adventure. Where do you want to go? Where do you feel like going? You want to go this way? I guess we stand around here. I mean, you can lean up against that tree if you want. I'm easy. Where do you want to go? I got some bruschetta here. Are you thirsty? You want something to drink? How inspired are you by your jungle adventure? Somebody says, been married a long time, this is spot on. I came back at a strange time in this life cast. You did not. You came back at the perfect time. Steph of the jungle. That's right. Like Brendan Fraser, but without the ass grabbing and infinite injuries. A good woman will recognize a leader who can also be led. Yes! Love is leading and surrendering. You lead her where you know, and you surrender where she knows. And that way, the sum of you both is greater than the parts. The division of labor. You lead her somewhere, she leads you somewhere. And that way you grow in infinite directions. You go to the jungle. What do you want the guide to do? You want the guide to say, take those camouflage pants off. I've got some lion skin for you to wear. Climb up this. Swing through these trees. Climb through that. Grab onto the tail of that python. Sit on this deer. Ride it through. And then we're going to go to the volcano. On the edge of the volcano, you will be blown off by the lava. And you will go spiraling backwards down the waterfall into a pure crystalline water of the greatest glory known to man. You want him to lead you on an adventure. We don't want to come on a date. No. Oh. Second date with my wife. What did I say? I'm going to do great things in this life. I know it. I feel it. I got to do great things in this life. Now, back then, I was a writer guy. I was a novelist. And I'm like, I want it to be Shakespeare, Dickens, Molyneux. Because one out of three that is tough to spell is not the end of the world. That's what I want. Let's go on an adventure. You're not asking her out on a date. You're asking her out on an adventure called life. Look, I'm taking you on an adventure in this live stream. I'm taking you on an adventure. We've got Satan sociopath pills. We've got imaginary jungle journeys. We've got tiger ball tickling or flicking. Sorry, flicking probably sounds a little better than tickling, which sounds a little creepy. I'm taking you on. I'm not just sitting there. What are you guys talking about? I mean, got a little bit of that. I'm going to take you on a journey. This is why you come. This is why you stay. This is why thank you so much for these donations. I really appreciate it because I want what's best for you. The new and improved Adam and Eve. Everybody tip a little or join up for locals because this conversation has been lit. Yeah. Now, Some women don't want to go on an adventure. They want to have, it's been one hell of an adventure tonight. Yes, that's right. They don't want to go on an adventure. Some women don't want to go on an adventure. They just want to sit and watch Netflix and so on, in which case, yeah, okay, go and have your dull life. But don't you want to have a life that is exciting? And trust me, there are times when life feels a little too exciting, massive deplatforming, but nonetheless, you come back and you find a way to make it work. How do you deal with the rejection? my friends, you will, if you hear a faint whistling sound in your ears, that's because your testosterone has now mounted to the point where you are an entire fucking tribe of Vikings, all right? How do you deal with the rejection? How do you deal with it? Okay, what are they rejecting? Do you believe you have something to offer other than you need and your horniness? Do you believe that you have something to offer a woman? Will you be a good provider? Will you be a good father? Will you be a gentle lover? Will you be a good conversationalist? Will you care, provide, and protect? This is the greatest show in the world, in my humble opinion. Of course, I think it is, because if I thought there was a greater show or a show doing more good, I'd go work for them. This is the greatest show. Now, if you say, I'm going to go watch Hannity... Do I feel rejected? No. It's too arduous. It's too challenging. It's too tough. It's too intellectual. It's too foolish. It's too wise. Do you, if you leave here, which is, I think, the greatest and most useful show on right now tonight, the 4th of May, 2023 at 8:45 p.m., if you leave this show, do I feel rejected? No, I'm putting heart and soul and mind and three bits of muscle and 1.5 chest hairs into getting this across to you so you can have a great life. If you leave, do I feel rejected? No. I have massive value to offer, mostly for free. I appreciate the donations. I have massive value to offer. Now, if I'm offering you this jungle tour, the one I just described, where you get to swing from a python and ride on a deer and be blown back by an exciting volcano and spiral down to the crystalline water, and if I offer you this virtually for free, and you say, that's not really for me, and I say, oh, I'm sorry, is it not exciting enough? Is it not cool enough? Is it not good enough? And you say, I don't know. I mean, I guess I could just sit over there and if you got half a coconut, I could eat that a bit. And, you know, then I'll just do some little light stretching, maybe Shamashtanga yoga, and I'll just head home. Okay, well, then the exciting trip is not for you. Am I rejected? No, you just want something that I would consider piss boring, but it's for you, right? How do you deal with the rejection? If you genuinely know that you have something to offer and you get rejected, they're rejecting value. Do you take it personally when people reject value? If you offer someone $50 for free and they say no, do you feel rejected? It's like, well, it's kind of incomprehensible. So you work at providing value. You work at being willing to be a leader and to follow. Women want to be led and they want to lead in the various areas of expertise. I mean, you get to the point where you say in your mind and your heart, like, I guess you could date other guys, but why? Why? Why would you want to date other guys? I provide the greatest value. Whatever that is for you. It's not, well, she doesn't deserve you anyways. If you want an exciting life, and she wants a boring life. She's not rejecting you. She's rejecting life. She's rejecting excitement. She's rejecting interest. She's rejecting anything that has value. Do I feel rejected when people don't watch my show? No. I don't. Honestly, I don't. Why? Because, man, if you can get more value, more crazy, productive, enjoyable, wisdom-imparting antics, if you can get more value out of somebody else, I will watch them and learn. I am sweating bullets trying to give as much value as possible to you, here, the world, everywhere. If you're certain of your value, you can't be rejected. This is foundational to life. If you're certain of your value, you can't be rejected. You understand? You can't be rejected. Because the feeling of rejection is the feeling that you're not good enough, that you're, they don't like you, that you're worth less, that you don't have anything to offer. If you are certain of your value, the only thing that people can reject in you is the value you provide. And if people don't want the value that you can provide, I think that's a shame. I think that's sad. I think it's almost shameful. But that's their choice. They can choose not to go on the exciting journey of your life. Now, if your life is not an exciting journey, that's your issue. Got to have some kind of cool plans. You got to have some kind of excitement to look forward to. Got to have some kind, something cool going on, right? Because if you've got nothing going on, then how dare you ask a woman to share your boring ass life? She should reject you. I would. Somebody says here, yeah, what would the good tour guide say if somebody passed? Yeah, okay. You don't want to come on this cool tour. That's free. Fine. Dating podcasts and shows have been blowing up and they all advocate mass male promiscuity. Steph has a much more reasonable take. Right. Remember, there's this absolute fucking physics of depopulation that's going on these days. Don't have kids. Go for hedonism. Be a rabbit, not a wolf. You know, fuck, don't find love. Pathetic. I saw this. If you've seen this, hit me with a Y. If you've seen this whatever podcast. Have you seen this? It's the guy with the beard. And there's the other clean shaven Ken doll Christian guy. I know that sounds kind of negative. I think that they're both a lot of fun. Tiffany Amber and Gorlock the Destroyer. So in it, there was a girl.
She got a kind of voice like this, and she's talking about how there's just a male patriarchy, and men are just running everything. It's a patriarchy, and then women have been exploited forever.
And she, you know, she's got, of course, the low cut top, and the boob nami, like the tsunami of boobs, right? And I think at one point she mentioned that she was dating some minor league baseball player or whatever, right? So this is funny, right? It's genuinely hilarious, right? Because the guy to date her has to be a minor league baseball player. So he has to have put in like 10,000 hours of sports expertise and countless injuries and rejections and problems and, right? And what does she have to have? A low-cut top. So that's what women call being exploited. Yeah, he's an athlete. He's got potential to make millions of dollars a year, and he works super hard on his training, and he's battled his way through injuries, and I have boobs. Isn't that sad? I'm going to take you on a journey called motorboat noises. All right. To get a good, inspirational, exciting, virtuous woman, be a good, inspirational, exciting, virtuous leader. Easy enough, I can do that. Quest accepted. Should be a great adventure. Thanks, Steph. These shows literally say men should bang as many women as possible because the girls are all hoes, completely ignoring that they are contributing to them being hoes more than anyone else.
black pill banging hoes. Yeah, I mean, this women are only good for sex stuff. It's, you know, I'm sorry that your mom was like that, but you shouldn't blame all women for your mom, right? I mean, this is one of the fundamental mistakes, right, that people make, is they think that all women are like their mom, or women think that all men are like their dad. And, you know, they're talking about the patriarchy and so on. It's like, well, I'm sorry that you're... Mom took no responsibility for her decisions and created this imaginary friend she could blame everything on called the patriarchy. Why did you marry the wrong man? Patriarchy. Why can't you find love? Patriarchy. Why do men only want you for sex? Because you don't provide any particular value to their soul or spiritual nutrition. Patriarchy. It's like this poem I read when I was a kid about some guy with got an imaginary friend, right? It's like, hey, man, I'd really love a couple of pieces of chocolate. I need some for my imaginary friend, too. Now, I'll have to eat them because his teeth are kind of new. They just came in. So, you know, just an imaginary friend to get stuff, right? I think guys just want their problems acknowledged. If you're going to wait for the world to acknowledge that guys have problems, you're just going to be waiting until the end of the time. You know, I try not to wait for buses in the jungle because they're not coming. If you've gone to some dusty old train track, you know, half the tires are broken and the railway tracks are all shattered and so on, you sit there, I'm going to wait for a train. Okay, well, you just rot until you die. It's not coming. Man, we just want our problems acknowledged. Okay, maybe in some future universe, in some alternate dimension, or maybe down the road, I wrote a book about this called The Future, where men are respected. But right now, you're not going to get your problems acknowledged. You're just not. It's just the way of the world. Like, I'm sorry that the world is the way that it is. It'd be nicer if men did have their problems acknowledged, but it's not going to happen. The entire structure of the planet today relies on the fact that men are faceless livestock to put their shoulders to the wheel to provide and create resources for everyone to steal. We are dray horses. We are soldiers of blind, stupid productivity. And we pick 10 grapes to have 9 stolen from us. And the entire society, the entire structure of society right now, the entire exploitation of society relies upon men never getting their complaints acknowledged or met or dealt with or ameliorated in any way. That's just the way that it is. You're not going to get your problems acknowledged. You're not. Let me ask you this. How much do you think countries would be willing to lend to, let's say, America if only women's contribution to the public purse was allowed? Well, yeah, so, I mean, women take out vastly more money from the public purse than they pay in, right? This is called a patriarchy, where men pay in vastly more to the public purse than they take out. Women take out vastly more. And the whole patriarchy thing is just to put you on the back foot, to keep you defensive. Oh, it's not a patriarchy. It's ridiculous. Oh, it's a patriarchy. Please, I'm going to read you a little bit from my book. Female rulers start more wars than male rulers. And how many men do you know who have the power to start a war? But most of the men you know can be drafted at a moment's notice to go and die in a war started by the rulers. Is that the patriarchy? Do you really think that if men ruled the world, we would have designed a system where we pay most of the taxes, get few of the benefits, die sooner, get killed or injured on the job far more than women, lose custody of our children, have to pay alimony and child support for decades, and go to jail if we lose our job or get sick? Do you really think that this is the best that male genius and the patriarchy could possibly have come up with? The system that is supposed to benefit men robs us blind, kills us younger, smashes our families, throws us in jail far more than women, by the way, for the exact same crimes. And you think that we actually invented this system that destroys us? Because why? What is the evidence that the system benefits men at all? And one of my favorite bits in the book, by the way, one of my favorite bits of the book is where the woman talks about the wage gap. The wage gap. The woman talks about the wage gap. And the man, What does the man talk about? Why don't we talk about the tax gap? How much did you pay in taxes last year? All right. Men equals stoic. Yeah, of course. The secret to not being a sociopath and being fearless is to realize our hormones as a man prevent us from attaining success because we get distracted. We need to get mean and decide they don't need us. We can fend for ourselves. They have to earn our attention. What? Women have to earn our attention? Yeah, of course. I mean, if you're attracted to a woman and you believe that you have value to offer, you're offering her a great benefit. If she doesn't want the great benefit, that's on her. Back in the 80s, if a guy was fit and working towards success, women would find that attractive generally. Have drive and you will thrive. All right. Steph, what do you think of Nietzsche's book, The Will to Power? I'm reading it now and it's an eye-opener. Yeah, we did a book club many years ago and we talked about the Antichrist and I think we touched on The Will to Power. Well, The Will to Power is what emerges when we lose abstract universal morality, which we lost with the fall of Christianity. Christianity is one of the very few, if not the only religion that genuinely subscribes to universal ethics. You lose universal ethics, everything just becomes the will to power. It's not about right. It's not about virtue. You might use the concept of virtue in order to trick people into giving you power. But, yeah, it's a very good analysis of what happens when atheists tore down the church and did not construct anything in its place. Then you just disassemble society. The world is a storm, and if people are taking shelter in a church and you tear down that church without building them some other place for shelter, you just toss them to the winds and everything falls apart. All right. Come on, tell me if you've been watching this. It's not tip-worthy. A little bit. Especially, I mean, look, if you subscribe elsewhere, no problem, but this has got to be a tiny bit tip-worthy, don't you think? Don't you feel? Feed me. See, here I am being a leader, telling you what I need and what I want. I'm not trying to shame you. I'm not trying to embarrass you. I'm just telling you what I need, want, and prefer, which is some tips and some support. I mean, it costs an ungodly amount of money to make a documentary. I think that making a documentary unpacking all of the lies about the American Civil War would be a pretty powerful thing to do. So, all right. Hi, Steph. Hope you do more streams like this on Rumble. Your brain... your Bomb in the Brain video series is great. Thank you very much. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I see that America, since 1962's decision, Engel versus Vitali, has been moving away from Christianity at a rapid pace, and we're actually in a post-Christian paradox. No, we're not in a post-Christian paradox. We're in an anti-Christian cult. An anti-Christian cult. Really a demonic cult. The modern culture is an anti-Christian demonic cult. And it's against Christianity, not because of its religiosity, but because of its moral rules. It's universal moral rules. Christianity teaches you to restrain your animal nature in the pursuit of heaven. But the animals among us don't want to restrain their nature because they don't have virtue to offer. They only have manipulation and power and threats and bribes and violence. That's all they have to offer. The demons among us don't have virtue to offer. They don't have inspiration. They don't have logic, reason, values, concepts, abstractions. All they have. Look at me sweating away. All of the demons among us have to offer is threats, manipulation, bribes, and violence. See, there are two types of people in the world. People who are good at thinking and people who are good at violence. There are people who are good at thinking and there are people who are good at violence. Now, the people who are good at thinking, they like to construct a world where thinking wins. A world of the non-aggression principle, a world of respect for property rights, and in particular, a world of free speech. If you're good at thinking, you're good at communicating, you're good at debating, you're good at arguing, you benefit from free speech. If you're dumb, violent, amoral, manipulative, you don't want free speech because you'll be exposed. So there are people who are good at thinking and there are people who are good at violence. And right now, the world is being transformed from one, at least in the West, dedicated to the benefit of people who think, and it's being turned over to the benefit of those who are good at violence. Athens versus Sparta? A little bit. A little bit. It's more stark than that, though, because they were both Greek. There is a tipping point that society reaches when enough, like, there are genuinely mental people all over the place in society. Like, like half of women who are liberals have been literally diagnosed with a mental illness, and it's not like the rest of them are perfectly sane. There are a lot of genuinely insane people in the world, and the purpose of society is to keep those people away from the center of society. To keep them away from the levers of power, to keep them away from the levers of culture, to keep them away from the influence, because they're insane. If you have somebody who's seeing visions and is insane and thinks that they're a billy goat, you don't let them fly the airplane because you'll crash, right? You've got to keep those people away from power. And we've hit a tipping point of craziness to the point where it's like obesity, right? And when there's a small number, I was talking to a friend of mine, this Japanese woman, and she's saying, well, Japanese women almost never get fat because the moment we put on 5 or 10 pounds, everybody relentlessly shames us into losing it and we never do it again. So you can keep the population relatively slender, but if you lose that and then you get a significant population, and of course on the internet you can find your own people and reinforce your own craziness, and you can just sit around in a madness-inducing and escalating echo chamber. Now we got a tipping point where crazy people have now taken over public discourse. And when crazy people take over public discourse, the only thing that they have to offer as a rebuttal to reason is violence, is threats. Deplatforming, debanking, straight-up physical attacks, reputational destruction. The only thing they have to offer is violence. And that really was the entire point of leaving the Dark Ages and going through the brutality of the Reformation, the Age of Reason, the Enlightenment, the Age of Science, the Age of Industry. The whole point of going through that was to turn the world over to people who think, and take it away from people who are violent. And like a ball thrown too high with the state, that arc is beginning to descend. When did you see this emerge? I noticed a change around December 2022, where everyone is at each other's throats over every little injunction. Well, I mean, I don't mean to be the old G-O-A-T in the room, but this began to emerge for me. Oh gosh, I'm 56. I went to university when I was 20. So yeah, 36 years ago, when I went into university, there was already, you could see the sort of fading out of the old rational empiricists, the sort of Second World War generation. The rational empiricists were all beginning to retire, and the people who were coming up were these aggressive, soulless, zombie-headed Marxists, postmodernists, subjectivists, relativists, Sartrean existentialists, and so on, where you can just make up any kind of bullshit, and if you're aggressive enough, people will give way, right? People gave up on the objective rule of reason, and when you break reason, what emerges is a will to power. And the will to power is threats and bribes and violence. But it starts off with threats and bribes, and it ends up with violence. All right, we've had a long old chat here. Any last tips? Have I managed to woo some value from you? Have I managed to summon some generosity from you, some kindness, some support? I'm busking here like a son of a gun for over 2 hours, busking and sweating and ripping off my shirt. Any last tips? Be thrilled. Very happy. This will lure me back. If you're a local sub, absolutely. Don't worry if you donate. And listen, if you don't have any money, you're broke, absolutely enjoy the shows. Don't feel bad at all. I appreciate that. Don't send me your last $2. I would really don't want it. If you can afford, I appreciate that. If you can't, no worries. Enjoy the stream. Share it. Share the ideas. If I'm too toxic or hot or controversial to share, just share the ideas. That's totally fine with me. Do you convene with poets? Boy, I've written a lot of poetry in my day, but I haven't written any in forever. I think the world needs more morality than imagery these days, and poetry is a great way of transferring dream states from person to person, but we need less dreaming and more waking up these days. So that's why I'm doing a lot of less allegorical works such as fiction and nonfiction. So, all right, I just wait. I am a young up-and-coming poet slash philosopher. I might be 22, but I was a homeschooled nerd who never fit into this modern world. 22, man, you are in your hottest time intellectually. You should absolutely be pouring heart, mind, and soul. Man, I wish I still had a 22-year-old brain. The stuff that I could do when I was 22, I mean, yes, there's benefits to being older. You get wisdom and experience, but, man, the stuff that I could do with my 22-year-old brain was truly staggering, and I'm happy with what I can do now, but, man, at 22, man, you got to dig in. You got a couple of years still to brain maturity. You'll hit that in your mid-20s. You got to dig in and create, man. You know what they say about scientists and mathematicians and so on, if you don't hit it by the time you're 28, you're never going to hit it at all. So work that brain, man. Do you now accept checks or money orders? I appreciate that. Super kind. Honestly, it's, I hate to say it's more work than it did, but it's a little bit more work than it's worth. So I appreciate that. That's very kind, but, I'm going to say no, but again, if that's what you've got, I don't mind it at all. Enjoy the stream. Honestly, enjoy it. And if you can afford it, great. I appreciate the support. If not, enjoy. All right. Hit me with a why if you're as spent as I am. Man, if I smoked, this would be time to lean back and inhale deeply the future dissolution of my own lung power. Are you spent? Are you spent like... Talk more, I'm addicted. Oh, there's lots of shows. FDRpodcasts.com. Let me just put this in here. FDRpodcasts.com. It's a great way to find shows, by the way. You are spent. This was an absolutely fantastic conversation tonight, Steph. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. That's very kind. And if you're listening to this later or watching this later, tips are hugely, massively appreciated. Again, I really, really want to get out there, do more live speeches. I want to get out there and meet people. I want to get out there and do documentaries. I've been basically Bruce Springsteen stuck in a studio for a couple of years, and I am just hungry to get out, but that costs money. So if you can support freedomain.com/donate, I would really, really appreciate that. Mwah! Have yourselves a wonderful evening, my friends, and I will talk to you soon. And thanks again to this platform, Rumble, for allowing philosophy to pour forth like a waterfall tsunami of bubbly wisdom. All right. Thanks, everyone, so much. I'm going to try and figure out an elegant way to end this. Probably will fail, but I'll do my best anyway. All right. Bye.